Joining me now to talk about the latest on Florida's vaccine distribution efforts, I'm joined by state government reporter for the Tampa Bay Times, Kirby Wilson, who's been doing a great job covering everything that's been taking place, including a lot of our top state officials who are in charge of overseeing the distribution of this vaccine throughout the state. Kirby, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And from what I've seen from afar, and there's been a lot of other news that has distracted me from following this as closely as I would have liked over the past week, but from what I've seen, Florida seems to be doing a decent job of distributing the vaccine. Not the best, but certainly not as bad as some other states where they're literally wasting vaccine vials. What have you seen so far in your coverage of how things have gone up to this point?
Well, thanks so much for having me. And I can't imagine what other news you're talking about slow, other than the vaccine distribution. I think you're dead on. The numbers say at least that Florida is pretty much middle of the pack in terms of the percentage of the population that's been vaccinated. Governor Ron DeSantis often points out that Florida has a pretty high share of the people who have been vaccinated who are over 65. I think more than half of the people now, and I think we're over 750,000 people who've been vaccinated, are over 65, which is a stat that he likes to point out. But I would say the issues that have come with the vaccine distribution have less to do with actually getting shots in people's arms and more to do with what the state has sort of publicized. And what I mean by that is that Governor Ron DeSantis, in a couple days before Christmas, put out an executive order that said anyone who's over 65 is eligible to get the vaccine. But he did that before the state had any significant vaccine allocation from the federal government. We've only had a few hundred thousand thousand shots delivered to us. And so if anything, the criticism is that he's overpromised, which has led to a surge of every senior citizen thinking, oh, well, let me get vaccinated. And then they sign up and there's way too much demand and people get busy signals on the phone and they get clogged online portals. So it's more of a style thing over substance at this point.
Right. Have you seen a difference in how the state has handled their efforts to distribute the vaccine and actually give the vaccine to Floridians, and how the partnerships with the private sector, including a company like Publix, have worked?
Well, so far the state has really delegated a lot of those efforts to, if not private sector actors, at least third party actors. CVS and Walgreens have done the assisted living facilities, Publix, as you mentioned. And then hospitals have largely been in charge of vaccinating everyone else. So there are a few state-run sites like the one in South Florida. I don't think those have run any worse than any others, but I don't think they've been the focus of the state's effort either.
Jared Moskowitz, who is the head of Florida's Division of Emergency Management, and he's somebody who I've certainly been impressed with throughout the course of this pandemic, he spoke at a House committee meeting, and you reported on this, and he really explained where the problem seems to be coming, not so much at the state level, but it's really the federal level and just a lack of communication.
That's right. I mean, from what he said, the federal government only communicates the state allocations 6 days in advance. So they learned on Tuesday what they're going to get next week. Which means that they don't have the bandwidth to tell people sign up for a shot, we'll give it to you in 3 weeks, which has led to some of the logjam you've seen locally with sign up portals. And beyond that, it's not just the state that's frustrated. Local hospitals are frustrated because they don't know how much of the vaccine that they're distributed that they can give out right away, or how much they might have to save for a second dose. I thought it was noteworthy that we saw Moskowitz levy that kind of criticism, because he was a Democratic representative who Governor DeSantis surprised some people by choosing to be head of that post. So he's been more critical of the federal government under President Trump. Governor DeSantis has been less critical of that effort, although, to be fair, I don't know if it's all political, because Governor DeSantis I think it's fair to say his job is to tell people what, and it's people who work for him, like Jared Moskowitz's job to say exactly how. So the logistics are more of a frustration for somebody like Jared Moskowitz, whereas Governor DeSantis, it is sort of his job to be the public face of the effort and to go around and say, look, we have Publix and you can go to Publix now, and anyone who's over 65 can get the shot. So, you know, it's reasonable that there be a difference in the approach of how that criticism goes, but given the partisan divisions, it has to be noted too.
I read a memorandum from a major healthcare system here in the state of Florida earlier today, and they laid out that when it comes to scheduling the first vaccines for people who would be eligible to get them, they've had to pause it because they need more information from the state and they don't know what the supply is going to be like. And it sounds like the state doesn't really have an answer for them because they're waiting on the federal government to tell them when the state's going to get more.
I think that's right. I think the state could have done a better job of communicating with providers the big change in their plan, or the big headline, sort of splashy, we're going to let everyone over 65 sign up, because immediately Florida had a much bigger pool of potential COVID vaccine recipients than a lot of other states, which led to a high demand, which led to some of the chaos. But medically, I think there's plenty of, you could argue that was a sound decision, because as Governor DeSantis points out, people over 65 are far more likely to suffer the worst effects of this disease than even frontline healthcare workers who are younger than that. I think it's almost certainly all at this point that there isn't federal supply, and the feds are not communicating with the state on what the next week's supply might be, or what the weeks in advance supply might be.
I'm joined by Kirby Wilson, state government reporter for the Tampa Bay Times, and we're talking about Florida's distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. And you laid out in a Twitter thread that I caught when it came to some of what Jared Moskowitz had to say, again, the director of Florida's Division of Emergency Management. I thought he made a really important point. There is a plan that they have in terms of how to do this and how to distribute the vaccines. But when there's only 6 days notice, it's really difficult to make it all work. It's just not something that can come together that easily and that quickly.
That's right. I mean, I think, I do think that there could have been better communication among state officials to lay out what actors are getting the vaccine. And for example, Director Moskowitz said today that they're going to communicate exactly what each county's vaccine allocation is, because they're allocating it based on the county's share of 65 and over population. So for instance, for a batch of 250,000 doses, which is about what we've been getting from the feds every week, Miami-Dade County, the largest county in Florida, gets about 22,000 shots, which is not nearly enough to cover the elderly population in any kind of timely fashion. But that's for example, that's just a metric that he gave.
Right. And that's why Hernando County was part of that Publix rollout, that initial rollout there. Hernando County has a high number of seniors over the age of 65.
Correct. But, however, they knew what the percentage of people over 65 was even before all this mess with the feds. So they could have communicated the relative percentages the counties were going to get in advance. I don't see why they couldn't have. So I think the state could have done a better job of saying, we don't know exactly what the feds are going to give us every week. Mm-hmm. And they're just now starting to really hit that message home. I think that would have helped people understand how much patience they were going to need to have if they had said, look, it's a week by week thing. But even barring that, they could have said, look, Hernando County, y'all are the 31st most populous county or whatever, and you're getting X percentage of the state's shots. And I think that would have helped people. And I don't see why they couldn't have laid that out. But again, I think that, as you note, is secondary to the federal issues we're seeing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and you might not have an answer to this, is part of the reason they had trouble laying that out because they didn't know what the federal government was doing. You know what I mean? Is it more of a top-down problem. That's what it appears to be. Not that there aren't things probably at the state level that, could have been cleaned up and done a bit better. I'm sure there are. But it certainly sounds like when you have no idea what you're getting, like, I don't know how you set anything up.
I'm sure they've spent a significant amount of their time trying to figure out what the feds are doing, which is not helpful, especially because, as Moskowitz said today, the feds told them to expect increasing volume week by week. And in the first week, they got, I think, 170,000 doses. The second week, they got something like 300,000. Third week, they got like 500,000. They thought, great. Fourth week, 250. Fifth week, 250. So then they mm-hmm. thought, what in the world? We set up all this infrastructure to get an increasing number of shots and arms, and now we're facing shortages. Your point's well taken. I really think the federal communication issues are first and foremost here.
Which is amazing, because Operation Warp Speed's been going on for a while. We knew all the way back to November that by the end of 2020, vaccines were likely going to start getting distributed, and it just doesn't seem like there was a plan in place. Local governments, how is this working? And I've asked this question to a number of different people, and I always seem to get a little bit of a different answer. The state, let's say they get 250,000 vaccines next week. How does CVS and Walgreens and Publix and the hospitals, how do they all know what they're getting? The local elected officials, are they involved in this process at all? Or is it just the state communicating directly with the distributors of the vaccine? Do you know how that's working?
Yes. So the federal government puts in this clearinghouse system called Tiberius, which is essentially just an app that tells the states how many doses they're getting. The states then prepare based on that number. And Director Moskowitz said today that the state has figured out basically the percentage that goes to each of the different buckets. So like, you know, the long-term care facilities, which are a very high priority with good reason, in a share of 250,000 doses, they get 40,000, Moskowitz.
Okay.
Publix gets 30,000. Churches get about 6,000, and then the counties get about everything else. So that's like 170,000 that the state distributes either via state sites or hospitals. So it's about, I think a good rule of thumb is it's about 2/3 that are under the state's control. And then there's a bucket that's sort of set aside for third party actors and the Warp Speed run long-term care facilities. Because again, the federal government is taking charge of vaccinating people in long-term care facilities through mm-hmm. a partnership with Walgreens and CVS. I can't imagine why this would be confusing for the normal person, given what I just.
Well, I guess I just wondered if Publix is distributing the vaccine, say in Hernando County, are Hernando County officials looped into that, or is that just the governor and Publix getting together? They make the decisions, and it just works that way, because you have citizens in all these different counties. They're calling around, and there's a lot of confusion on that front. And I go back to something that I said at the beginning of the pandemic, and I think it applies now. It would have been nice to have one central website where everybody could go to, and then they could punch in where they live and get more detailed information. And especially for this, for the vaccine rollout, when you're doing 65 plus and you have a lot of senior citizens in Florida who aren't well-versed in going online and navigating those kinds of websites, really investing in a call bank where they could take a high volume of calls, people having questions. That's another aspect of the communication that I think has been problematic. And that's something that the state could have done. That's not something they needed help from the federal government on.
Absolutely. Everything you just said is completely spot on. Now, to the point about the busy phone line, Governor DeSantis did instruct local county departments of health, which is where a lot of people are going for information, because those are the people running the show locally. The state has an integrated county state department of health, so all 67 counties have a chapter of the state department of health. He's instructed them to hire more people to answer phones, because those phone lines are getting overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And to your point about a website, state officials are working on a centralized website like the one you're describing. Why there wasn't one ready to go,
that's the thing.
It seems like we had time to prepare. But again, but also, it's not that easy to build a website that a lot of people log on to and access easily. Just ask anyone involved in the Obamacare rollout.
Exactly. That or the unemployment system websites that we've dealt with here in the state of Florida. I'm joined by Kirby Wilson, state government reporter for the Tampa Bay Times. And thank you so much for all the time. Let me get to the Surgeon General, because you did some reporting on him, Dr. Scott Ripke's. He's been an interesting figure through all of this. He didn't seem to have answers to a lot of questions. It sounds like you got much more information from Jared Moskowitz than from the state Surgeon General. What is his role in all of this?
So he leads the Florida Department of Health, but he has not been a very present figure throughout the pandemic, and that's putting it probably mildly. He rarely appears at in public in news conferences, and when he does appear, he appeared at, I think, at least three committees in the legislature this week to answer questions from lawmakers. And he pretty much just sticks to the talking points when he appears in public. It's rare to see him go off script or go out on a limb in pretty much any way. His role, I think that speaks to Governor DeSantis' leadership style, in that the governor prefers to be in control of his own messaging. So that's why he's been really, really present, holding a lot of news conferences, going all over the state, appearing in local markets to be a voice of reassurance for Floridians. And his supporters say that shows off leadership. And he's been working. He's been, unbelievably present throughout this pandemic in that way. But his detractors would say that he's sidelined maybe some of the experts that might know better. Whether it's Surgeon General Ripke's or others who might have scientific input about policy in favor of his own gut instincts.
Kirby Wilson, state government reporter for the Tampa Bay Times. You can follow him on Twitter at KirbyWTweets. Kirby, thanks so much for the time and really great reporting. We appreciate it.
You're too kind. It's a pleasure. Thanks so much.